I want to look this morning at controlling our mouths. It's something we all need help with, I'm sure. James chapter 3, up to verse 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. In this scripture, it tells us here that you and I, we stumble in many ways, don't we? And we are often, to our shame, at fault in what we say and what we speak. And it tells us here that if we're able to control what we say, we are a perfect man, able to keep our whole body in check. Problem for you and I is our mouths so often get us into trouble, don't they? It says out of the same mouth we can both bless and curse. We can tell the truth or we can deceive. In the book of Proverbs and chapter 12 and 19, it says truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. We're called to be people of truth, aren't we? And to speak truth. And it says out of the same mouth can come blessings and cursings. How many times have we said in our lives things that we later live to regret? How many times do we engage our mouth before the brain's in gear? The problem with words is that once they've been uttered, they can't be easily retracted, can they? And words cause so much damage to people's lives. There's the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's not true, is it? Because words can and do hurt. The tongue can cut someone to pieces. It can destroy lives. It can break hearts. It can do huge damage both to ourselves and to others. In Proverbs 11 and 9, it says, with his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbour, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. And verse 12 says, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbour, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. And in verse 12 and 18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, our tongue can be used for good or evil, can't it? And it tells us, doesn't it, in scripture, that by our words we'll be justified or condemned. It also says in another scripture that life and death is in the power of the tongue. On the same token, words can also do good. Words can heal. Words can comfort. Words can encourage. They can bring life. In Proverbs 12 and 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. It's amazing what a kind word can do for your spirit and how a negative word can drain you. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Our lips can nourish. Proverbs 10:11, a lot in Proverbs this morning. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. So, you know, our mouth can bring life to others as God uses the words that we speak. There's an old saying that if you've got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all. And if all we can do is speak discouragement, hatred, envy, idle words or unbelief, then we're probably causing more harm than good. As Christians, our words should bring healing and life and nourishment and edification. That doesn't mean, by the way, that our words will always be well received or will be what people want to hear. If someone doesn't want to hear the truth, then our words may cause offence or rejection or persecution. But if we speak as Christ would, then it's not us that they reject, it's Christ's word that they reject. But when we do have to confront, as we often do, with truth, it has to also be done out of a right attitude, doesn't it? Out of a spirit of reconciliation. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. In the body of Christ, we can edify one another with words of encouragement, of correction, of compassion, of wisdom, of knowledge, of revelation. But what we need is a spirit-controlled tongue, not a flesh carnal-controlled tongue. And in the book of James, in our scripture, it tells us that the tongue, although it's the small member in our body, is like the rudder of a large ship. In comparison to the ship, it is very small, but yet it's able to steer the course of the whole ship. And in like manner, our tongue is like that rudder. It can steer the course of our whole life, either towards heaven or towards hell, towards life or towards death. The difficulty with the tongue is controlling it, isn't it? It's so easy to say the wrong things, to speak out of anger instead of love, to gossip, to get involved in tittle-tattle, to backbite, or dare I say it, to lie and to speak untruth. Even so-called white lies and are just excuses wrapped in lies, wrapped up in the flesh. In the Bible, it tells us not to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord on his throne and a revelation of God's holiness. And he was convicted and he said he was a man of unclean lips. He recognised that his mouth was corrupted and impure. His lips were unclean. But it was God who made him clean, didn't he? He sent the seraph to put the coal on his lips and to cleanse him. You and I, we need a sanctified tongue this morning. We need to speak truth, not lies. To speak goodness and edification, not discouragement, unbelief and negativity. If all that we utter is cynicism and unbelief, then that's what we'll become. When you think about the spies when they returned to Moses from spying out the promised land, it was what they said that made them guilty. They expressed verbally their unbelief. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? The issue in reality is not so much what we say with our mouth, but it's what comes from our heart. If the heart is pure, then the speech will follow suit. If the heart believes, then our speech will reflect that. In other words, if we want to control our tongue, then we need to have a right heart. We need to have a clean heart and a clean mind. In Psalm 51, David asked God to create in him a clean and a pure heart. And then he said, I will teach transgressors your ways. He asked God to save him from blood guiltiness, and then his tongue would sing of God's righteousness. He asked God to open his lips and his mouth to declare God's praise. We need God to cleanse our inner man and sanctify our heart if we're going to have clean lips and a tongue that is controlled and righteous. And we need to be careful when we speak. You know, we shouldn't be too hasty to make promises with our mouth that we're not going to fulfill or that we may later regret. In the scripture it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Words are cheap. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say things and promise things that you don't mean. It's easy to make a promise and not keep it. Basically, it's lying, isn't it, really? That's why it's wise this morning to be a man of few words. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. We shouldn't be hasty, should we, to make promises, especially to God, who will surely hold you and I to account. We can get complacent with what we say, but God weighs our words. And if our actions don't match up to our words, we're going to be found wanting, aren't we? To protect us from this, we need a healthy reverence of God, a healthy fear of God. We need to think about what we're going to say, rather than just speak glibly. In the scripture it says, doesn't it, that in many words there is usually sin. We need to guard our lips and keep a watch over our mouths. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And Proverbs 21:23, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Do you want to be kept from troubles this morning? Well, we need to keep our mouth and our tongue from folly and from sin. The tongue is also needed to praise God, isn't it? There's something powerful about singing and proclaiming God's truth aloud. It is a declaration, isn't it, in the heavenlies of the truth of God. The Bible tells us to praise God with our lips, to declare his righteousness. Psalm 34:1 says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 35:28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. And Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. God has given us a mouth for a reason. He's given us a voice for a purpose, to praise and to worship him, to acknowledge him in all our ways. Our tongue should sing of the glory of God. It says in the scripture that God has given you and I a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise both glorifies God and it also lifts our spirits up. There's power in it, isn't there? It's a declaration of truth. And we can sing the truth as well as speak it. And it's important that we do. We're called to minister to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And there's many times, I'm sure, when you can come into church feeling down and moody or discouraged. But once you begin to praise God, your spirit's uplifted and that heaviness goes. Unless, of course, God's dealing with you over something, in which case repentance is the cure for that. Which brings us on to what we were preaching on the other week, confession of sin. It's a requirement of repentance that we confess our sins to God. We have to name the deed, don't we? We have to verbalise what we've done. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, it's very much a part of repentance. But it must be in conjunction, of course, with turning away from those sins as well. You can't just do the Catholic thing of confessing and going out repeating the same sins week after week. That's not repentance, is it? But nevertheless, repentance begins with confession. There is something about speaking aloud to God, taking ownership of what we've done, taking responsibility. Finally, we need to speak out of faith and not unbelief. And I'm not talking here this morning about name it and claim it, positive confession and all that nonsense, treating God like some kind of genie in a lamp. But we do need to speak out of a heart of faith, not unbelief. The words we speak and what we believe, we affirm with our mouths. What we believe in our hearts, or we should. We should acknowledge God in what we say. We should affirm truth with our lips to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way that praise is a declaration of truth, we also need to declare truth in our words and our speech. When we witness to others, we're sharing truth, aren't we? We're sharing our testimony. When Jesus walked the earth, he spoke the truth. He witnessed wherever he went. He wasn't afraid of verbalising his faith, was he? That doesn't mean we have to stand up on tables at work and preach wherever we go, but it's by our lifestyle and our words. We speak when opportunity presents itself. But it's also just as much about having integrity in our words, in the things we speak, that our actions and our life matches the words that we speak and reflects the life that we live. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's a hard thing to preach the gospel. It's a harder thing still to live it." We need to use our mouth to communicate with God. And it's good when we pray to pray aloud to God, isn't it? To make our request known to God, to praise God, to intercede for others, to stand on the word of God, to quote the word of God in prayer, to say to God, "Your word says such and such, Lord, and I choose to believe it and obey it." God will always honour his word, won't he? In the book of Acts, when the church prayed in one accord and the building shook, didn't it? I doubt that was a quiet time of prayer. I'm sure they would have been verbalising their prayers to God. God has given you and I a mouth this morning so that we can glorify him in what we say and what we sing. And we can either use that mouth for good, to bring healing and life to others, or we can use it for evil speaking. That tongue that's in our mouth has to be controlled. And that can only be done through living our lives in submission to the Spirit of God. And through his Spirit, we can control the tongue. Amen? Amen. And let him control what we say and what we don't say. Amen. Let's pray this morning.